Can we all lift our hands? Father God, we just pray right now for every heart to be open. Lord, we assume nothing, we take nothing for granted. And we pray that the words that are spoken bring life, bring direction, bring challenge. So open our hearts this morning, open our spirits, speak into our lives in power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Please take a seat. So apparently Jenna's crook. She was song leading and she was crook and couldn't make it. Just joking how the younger generation, they haven't got the, I suppose, the stamina that we have. Although I must apologise, I wasn't here for the same reason 2 weeks ago. Cup day this year was on a Tuesday. That's no surprise. And a number of us from this church gathered with a number of people from other churches around Shepparton and Maroopna at the Queen's Garden for a prayer walk. And so we had a bit of a discussion at the start and then we all went off in different directions. And so there was Myra was leading our group and a number of people from here. And we started, as soon as we started walking, it started raining and down it came. Isn't God good? Do you notice every Tuesday it rains? Did you realise that? Every Tuesday lately it rains. This Tuesday it's forecast to rain again. So we need to thank God for the rain. So we're walking off and it starts raining on Melbourne Cup Day for a prayer walk. It should, and at that point, it was more like a prayer gallop. Everyone get out of the rain. And we're walking around. Our spot was we headed up Nixon Street, up to the showgrounds, and then we came back down through the mall. Could we put that first slide up, please? Patrick. So we get into the mall and there's a lot of shops in the mall, but we're just walking through and we're praying for a revival, praying for our community, praying for souls. And I look up and there's this shop, Identity for Men. And all of a sudden this name just jumped out at me. Identity for Men. And I thought, that's my next sermon. That's what I have to preach on. But ladies, it's for you too. Don't feel left out. Identity for Men and Women. And as I was thinking about that, if we can go to the next slide, thanks Patrick, and I'll work this thing out. If I was to ask you, who are you? What would your response be? Now, maybe a bit more spiritual than normal because we're in church. But say it was on a Tuesday and we're out for a walk and it's raining and I was to ask you, who are you? Or someone asked you, who are you? What would your response be? Or would your response be, well, I'm a plumber or I'm a mum? What would it be? Is your response, is your identity come out of what you do? Or does it come out of who you are? So this morning we're going to look at everybody's identity. The interesting thing about identity is that each one of us are so unique. We're so different. You probably realise it, but everyone's fingerprint is different from the other 7 billion people in the world. You're unique and you're different and you have an identity. But what is that identity birthed out of? Is it out of who you are or what you do, or what does God say about you? So if we look at the definition, you might have to help me, Patrick. That's it. If we look at the definition of identity, it's the distinguishing character or the personality of an individual. We're all different. We're all unique. This is part of our identity of who we are. It's the relation established by physiological identification. And we live in an age where there's identity theft, where people are trying to pinch other people's identity so they can access their bank accounts and so on, or passports. All right, it identifies who you are, right? But I like this part at the end. Your identity is who you are. Now, who do you say you are? But who does God say you are? They could be completely different. Who you say you are, what you think about yourself, how you identify yourself, how you define that, could be very different from what God says about you, how God defines you. And we're going to look at that and start with our first scripture, which is our next slide, Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. That last line, male and female, he created them. You sort of think, well, why did God need to put that in? That's obvious, okay? We now live in an age where even that is trying by the enemy to be taken away. In Tasmania at the moment, they're talking about possibly producing birth certificates that has no gender on them. You're not male or you're not female. I have a niece who works in a shop in New South Wales, and she had to organise a bunch of balloons for a christening. And so she's putting these balloons together, and the person came in to pick them up, and there was a bunch of pink and a bunch of blue balloons. And so she sort of said, oh, you know, is it for a boy or for a girl? And they turned to her and said, they'll make up their own mind about that. That's the world we live in today. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. If you're a male, you were created in God's image and be proud of that. If you're a female, the same thing. You were created in God's image and be proud of that. So God created mankind in his own image. See, God is spirit. When you think about God and image, the point I want to bring out here is there's God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God, three in one. Think about the image of that. Think about the intimacy that they had. Think about the relationship that they have together. You were created in his image. You were created for intimacy and relationship with the living God. If you don't have that today, or you don't really understand that today, this is what I mean. Let's take nothing for granted. Let's not assume anything. If you're created in his image, which the Bible says we are, that's his desire for you today. Whether you're a man or a woman, or whether you're trying to figure that out, that's his desire for you today, to have intimacy with him. You were created for that. You were born and created in his image. And next slide is Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, I want you to read that. before I formed you, I want you to take the word you out and I want you to put your own name in that. Now I want you to read that silently to yourself, but with your name in it. So you were created in His image. You were not an accident. You were born right on time, God's schedule. He knew you before you were formed. He knew you before you were in the womb. He knew you before your parents even met, before the foundations of the world. He knew you. And He had a plan for you to set you apart. Here Jeremiah is appointed as a prophet to the nations. That was his calling. That was his purpose. That was his individuality. That's what God had marked him to do. And each and every one of us are different. We're individual. We're unique. We have our own identity. But God has a purpose for you. You weren't born for no reason. You weren't born just to take up space, breathe in the air. He knew you. He set you apart. If you're here today and you think, my parents didn't want me, I wasn't planned, I was a mistake, well, I got news for you. In God, there's no mistakes. If that's the way you're thinking or that's affected how you feel about yourself, you need to understand today, that's not God's plan for you. You need to change the way you think. You need to line up with what God says about you in His Word, not what circumstances have happened. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. See, when you've got no hope and you've got no future, because you don't understand what you were made for, then it's like, what's the point? What's the point? You can feel like a mistake. You can feel like a victim. You can feel like you're just on the treadmill. But this scripture talks about He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And it's good. It's a purpose and a plan of hope and a future. He wants to prosper you. He's not out to harm you. But why does a loving God let bad things happen in the world? You ever heard that one before? And we live in a fallen world and we know things happen and we don't always have the answers. But I tell you what, when you understand who you are, then you can walk hand in hand with the Lord through every situation. And instead of letting that situation kill you and destroy you, you can let it build character and perseverance, like Caleb was saying, and never give up. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Today, if you're living your life, what plan are you living? Have you discovered God's plan for you? Do you understand His purpose and what He's called you to do? Do you understand the giftings that He's placed upon your life? Are you living that out, God's plan? Do you know where you're at? Or is it your plan? It's one or the other. With our plan, it's more about, well, we have goals, we have ambitions, we have aspirations. There's things that we want to do and want to achieve, want to get married and have a great career and do this and travel and all those sorts of things. All great things, but is that God's plan or is it your plan? See, when you understand God's plan, all of a sudden your desires change. It's not about what you want to do and what you want to achieve and what makes you feel good. It's about all of a sudden those desires change and they start to line up with God's plan and God's desires for your life. And that doesn't mean he takes all the fun and the joy out of life. He understands who you are. He's made you individual. He's given you, you know, the skills and the focus and the desires that you have. And often it's just getting them in line with what God wants you to do with them. Okay, Galatians 2:20. So we've talked about we're made in God's image. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He wants us to live that out, fulfill that in our life. But really, we have to go back to a point and understand that we were born with a sinful nature. We were separated from God. And 2:20 Galatians says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you're here today and you don't know God, this is where it all starts, right here. We need to acknowledge the state that we're living in. If you don't know God, you have to acknowledge that the state that you are in is you're separated from God and you don't know God and you probably don't understand what's happening in your life and there's sin in your life. If you've made that decision and you're going on with God, you already understand the process. But if you're here today and you've done that, yet you're not living for God and you've walked away or your life is not right, then it's like there's this cycle that you need to go back to and start and go over again. The first thing you need to do is acknowledge where you're at. The second thing is you need to repent. I'm all for love and I'm all for grace and I'm all for lots of things that are being preached today. Part of that is repentance. If you don't repent, if you don't ask for forgiveness, if you're not sorry for what you've done, then I really don't think you understand the state that you're in. If you need God and you don't go through this process, then you're not going to see your life changed and turned around. You need to understand repentance. If you're living far from God, whether you've never made a decision for Him or even if you are living for Him and there's sin in your life, you need to repent. You need to turn from that sin. This talks about dying to self. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I get a little bit confused about, you know, if people say they've made a decision and they're living for God and yet the fruit of their life is totally different from that. I don't understand that. You ever heard of a phrase about keeping short accounts with God? Yeah, I think that is a great habit, a great thing to do is as you go through your daily life and you do something and you know it's wrong, you know you've made a mistake, you've done something you shouldn't have done, you've thought something you shouldn't have thought, you've said something that you shouldn't have said, don't ignore it. Just say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Repent. Keep a short account and deal with it. Because the danger is if you don't, and it happens again and again, and it can get to a point where it just becomes habit in your life instead of dealing with it. Die to self and live for Him. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The new creation has come and the old has gone. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, salvation is an experience that changes your life forever. But then there's an ongoing sanctification process. At the age of 17, when I rededicated my life back to Jesus that night, that was the most amazing, incredible experience. And yet, for the rest of my life, I will live out of growing and developing and sanctification. It's an incredible plan that God has for our lives. And I'll give you a key right here, right now. Everyone listening? You need to yield every area of your life to the Lord. As you work through this, isn't it amazing how you can be a Christian for 20 years and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will put his finger on something? And you think, man, I've never seen that before. I didn't realize I was doing that. Well, God, I need to repent of that. That's an area of my life that perhaps I haven't yielded fully to you. When you yield every area of your life, that gives him the room to work and to move. When you decompartmentalize all your life into different areas, and you say, well, God, no, that's off limits. My money, that's off limits. That's mine. Every area. Your relationships. Every area. The old is gone and the new has come. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Wow. That Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and died on a cross. And we've heard about it this morning. We've sung about it this morning. Do we really understand the price that he paid? That he took the sin of the world, but it's not just the sin of the world, it's a sin of me. It's a sin of you. He took it upon himself and he made a way for us to be clean. You were bought with a price. It cost him his life. It cost him everything. And it says that we've died to ourselves and we live for him. And you are not your own anymore. Steve McCracken referred to this when he was here. Powerful. You are not your own. You live for him. And it's easy to say those words, but in that everyday outgoings of our life, does our actions match up with that? It's interesting, he talks about your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say, honor the God with your body. Let's understand sin is a choice. Sin is a choice. See, when you get saved and you get sanctified, the old man is gone, the new has come. Things change. And no longer do we have to be locked into the old style, the old habits, the old way of doing things. Our mind is renewed. Our mind is transformed. There's an ongoing sanctification process. And you need to understand that sin becomes a choice. It's not just, I couldn't help it. It just happened. For some people here today, you need to understand sin is a choice. The next time you're tempted with that thing that appears to have control on your life that you just can't get out of, instead of just falling into that trap again, you need to understand sin is a choice. Have you told someone? Is someone standing with you and praying with you? Is someone standing alongside of you and giving you keys how you can get set free? Or is it a secret? See, sin is a choice. When people come to me, and I remember as a youth pastor, and young couples would come to me, and that they were the famous lines. Oh, it just happened. We didn't mean it. It just happened. And I start to say, sin is a choice. I reckon sin is a choice or sin is an excuse. It's one or the other, eh? If you understand it's a choice, that takes away the excuses. And if you say it's too hard, then you get help. And you get people to stand alongside you, to pray with you and help you through things. So I really feel that's for someone here today. You need to when you leave this place today, you need to understand sin is a choice. That takes away my excuses. This is going to change how I think from now on. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're talking about identity. We talked about how God made us and he has a plan for us. And we've talked about how Jesus came to make a way for us to come back into relationship with a holy God by taking our place and taking away our sin. We're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We need to live that out. Now, what does the word say about us as Christians living a life for him? First Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Okay, let's understand who we are today. Everyone say, I'm a chosen people. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm God's special possession. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand the way that Jesus sees you, that the Father sees you? Or do you see yourself how you see you? Do you see yourself through the eyes of what's happened to you? Do you see yourself through the circumstances of what's going on in your life right now? Do you see yourself from your emotional perspective? Do you see yourself from your past perspective? Or do you see yourself from the way Jesus sees you? See, it's totally different. The way you see yourself will determine your future. And if you see yourself the way God sees you, you're a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're God's special possession. If you see yourself that way, the sky's the limit. Who knows what you can do? The word talks about in John that the amazing things that Jesus did, he said, you will do even greater than this. When you see yourself the way he sees you, everything changes. But the reality is often we don't, we can read that, but it doesn't really sink in. And we see ourselves, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I love Jesus. But we don't see ourselves because of what's happened in our life or what we're going through or how we feel. It's like the temporal takes over eternity because the temporal here is so powerful. But we need to switch and understand that eternity is far more powerful. And what happens temporary is stuff that we can deal with. We can work through that. But we need to see ourselves the way he sees us. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's a young guy that often calls into the church, and he'll come into my office and sit down and we'll have a little chat, and he'll say to me, Pastor Matt, my friend said that good works get you into heaven. I see that smirk, Janice. You know who I'm talking about. And I'll say to him, the Bible says that faith in Jesus and believing in him leads to salvation, which gets you into heaven. And out of that should flow good works. It's not good works that get you into heaven. See, and this is part of our identity, is you can be a good person and you can be known for doing good things and you can be known for all the great things that you do and what you do and what you do and what you do. But that's not your identity. Your identity is you're a son and a daughter of the living God. And out of that will flow good works. We are his handiwork, created in Christ. Jesus has given us good works to do. He's prepared that for us to do in advance. And the fruit of knowing him and being in an intimate relationship with him is you are going to do good works. You are going to do things that impact people. You're going to do things that influence and change other people's lives. That's normal. That's the fruit. Okay? But if you're just doing good things and you don't know him, that's not a ticket to heaven. That's just being a good person. And you can be a good person and still have sin in your life and still have no idea who God is. So I tell him that. And the next week it's the same question. We go over it again. We've done that a few times. You need to understand your identity is not based in what you do, but it's based on that you're a son or a daughter in relationship with the living God. Do you understand that? So next time someone says who you are, who are you? That's better. Who are you? What do you say? Well, I'm a great runner. Or I'm great at doing this. No, that's not the question. Who are you? I'm a son or a daughter of the living God. And those great things you do flow out of that, but that's not your identity. Let's get that in our hearts today. Okay, if the band would like to come, I've got one last scripture for you. John 15:15. You see, we're chosen. We're royal. We're holy. We're special. We've got works planned by the Lord for us to do. But it goes another step beyond that. This is Jesus. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. Do you understand that you're a friend of God? You know that song? I'm a friend of God. He knows my name. There's 7 billion people on the planet. Well, we're probably heading towards 8 billion now. And yet, I'm a friend of God. He knows my name. He's got a plan for me. He's got a purpose for me. He's got good works for me to do that have been planned in advance. He wants me to know what his business is for me. Not to be a servant that just told, do this and you don't know what's going on. For everything I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. So this morning, I want you to really understand what is my true identity. If you're here today and you don't know what your identity is or you've been struggling with that, I pray that these scriptures that come right out of the Word, that defines who you are. That defines God's longing to have intimate relationship with you. That describes what he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in your future. It all flows out of here and it starts with an intimate relationship with him. And I think for those that have made that commitment or been Christians for a long time, the question is, do we really understand the intimacy that he wants to have with us? Are we cultivating that? And we talk about doing good works. And we think of doing good works as, you know, doing something for somebody else, helping someone. But what do we do for ourselves? Going to church, supporting the local body, giving of our tithes and our gifts and our talents, and having that intimate relationship with him where we pray and we read the Bible and we worship. All those things. That's normal part of what flows out of an intimate relationship. And when we're doing that for ourselves, the good works are a byproduct that flow out to touch other people's lives. So let's all stand. Lord, we just thank you today. For what a great plan and purpose you have for us. And Lord, today as a pastor, I just don't assume that everybody knows that. I just don't take for granted that, Christians here, they know all that. They've heard that before. Well, you may have heard it before and you may know that, but do you fully understand that? And this morning, Lord, I just pray that there would be many people who would just want to say in their hearts right now, Lord, I just want to give myself to you afresh. I want to yield every area of my heart to you today. I'm sorry that there's been areas or parts of my life that I'm living for myself, I'm not living for you. Lord, take every part of me. I want to fully understand your purpose for my life. I want to say no to the things I shouldn't be involved and yes to the things that you've called me to do. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. You know, this year we're talking about revival. And we've seen some good things happening in our church, in unity with other churches, in prayer and events. And Awakening Australia was a great example of that. God's stirring and he's doing something across the region, across the state, across the nation. But I keep coming back to this one of the key parts of revival is that God needs to do revival in us, individually and personally, in our own hearts. That's a big part of it. So as we sing a song and we close our service today, if you need to do business with God, you can do that where you stand. But if you feel to come out or you're sick or you need to make a decision, I'm going to follow Jesus today and you need someone to pray with you, then the front is open. Let's make this time an important time with God. If you need healing, I have anointing oil straight from Jerusalem. Thanks, Mum. That was my present this week. We can lay hands on the sick. We can anoint you with frankincense and myrrh anointing oil. If you don't get healed from that, then Jesus is the healer, amen? Hallelujah. All right, the front's open for prayer. You can respond out here, you can respond right there. The main thing is you respond in your heart today. There's things you need to change, things you need to put in place. Let's do that, amen? Hallelujah. Thanks, guys.